Welcome to my world. Won't you come on in? Miracles, I guess, still happen now and then.
Welcome back to the Bruce Sallin Show with Dad's Point of View. You can email me at brucesallin.com or follow me on Twitter at Bruce Sallin. And please like the Dad's Point of View Facebook page. It is time for Teen Rap with Pastor Drew Sams, who sadly was not with us last week. Pastor Sams has been the high school pastor at Calvary Community Church in Westlake Village, California for the past 6 years. Pastor Drew and his wife Erica live in Westlake Village, California, and are the proud parents of their first son, Judah Andrew Sams. Welcome back to the show, Pastor Drew.
Thanks for having me back. Missed you last week.
I missed you. I gather it was a sad occasion. You had to preside over a memorial service, so I, of course, understand. But let's start with a happy thing and tell us the health and welfare of baby Judah Andrew Sams.
Well, I love answering this question that you give me every week. It's fun to brag on my little boy. He is now flipping back and forth from back to stomach, switching back. I never would have thought I would have celebrated these little things.
Oh, beforehand. They're big. They're neat.
Yeah. And he did it for the first time, and he looked at his mom and I just with this, like, I just did it. I just did a triple gainer. I just scored the winning touchdown. This look on his face was amazing. Amazing.
That's very, very cool. You know, it is actually really fun to hear about your journey, as my parenting journey is drawing to a close, at least as far as the active part of it. Obviously, you never stop being a parent, but my younger son is about to get his driver's license. My older son's away at college. So all the things that you're going through are just happy memories for me right now. Anyway, today's topic I at first thought wouldn't necessarily have great relevance to our teen rap segment, but you brought up a great point. Today's topic is about what happens when dad, in this case it was me, doesn't talk at the dinner table, and it raises the question of who is the talker in the family. You might want to talk about that vis-a-vis you and Erica, given that you are a very, very excellent public speaker. I'm not quite sure how you interact in private. And I know you have an article that you want to reference that I think is very interesting. So let's go.
Yeah, I guess I'll start with the personal experience, because that's really the only thing I have authority in, you know, is my own experience.
Obviously, that's all we all have authority
in. Yeah, exactly. So, of course, you know that for a profession, I'm a public speaker. I'm also quite the extrovert, but feel very comfortable communicating to people one-on-one in small groups or in a large setting. My wife, on the other hand, is more of an introvert. And in a very large setting, she clams up a little bit more, but as the group gets smaller and smaller, the more vocal she becomes. And it's interesting, her close friends would never guess that she's an introvert, but she really is in those large settings. So when it comes to parenting, we found that both of us, in a sense, are, and of course he's only 6 months old, but both of us are actively involved. And actually, I think right now she is talking to him more. I'm, you know, more focused on the rough and tumble and getting them to, you know, flip over back and forth, but she's talking to him the whole time. And it's been neat to see as she's changing his diaper, she's giving him a bath. And so it's really been interesting to see how our personalities come through in this parenting of this early child.
I am not surprised that you are the more outgoing personality. We tend rarely, if we're an alpha male, to marry an alpha female. I think that would just probably promote war.
We saw in that movie you referenced, right, in that article. I just saw that, What to Expect When You're Expecting.
Yeah.
Classic scene when they're both going at it.
It's very interesting how that works. But you also mentioned an article, and I'd love you to refresh my memory about that article and how it relates to the topic.
Sure. Well, the article was referenced in a book that was written by one of my professors in school. His name is an author, Chap Clark, wrote a book called Disconnected. And it's a little dated in the title. As you can see, it says Parenting Teens in a MySpace World. It came out about 6 or 7 years ago, but in it, he referenced a study that was done that as children grow up through those significant stages of childhood and as they transition into adolescence, these researchers found that the mom played a more significant role in their early childhood, but the father played a more significant role as they transitioned through adolescence. And they looked at different cultures, they looked at different places around the world, and what they found, and of course, you know, there's this is very generalized to come to this conclusion, but they recognized that as people transition from childhood through adolescence to adulthood, that they often look to their father to see how they interact in society as an interdependent adult. And so they're looking to their father for what values to have, what ethics to have when it comes to interacting with other people. And so if the dad's not sharing those values, if he's not providing what to do, what not to do, the ethics, so to speak, where are they going to look? And there's tons of voices out there in society, in the media,
that are not the voices we want them to look at.
Exactly. And so I think that when a parent, especially a father, especially as those kids are going through adolescence, if they keep their mouth shut and don't communicate what's maybe on their heart, the things that they value, in a sense, it never gets passed on to the next kid. No matter how valued a thing it might be in their heart, it'll never get communicated to that kid unless it comes out of your mouth.
Now, was this article and or the book, did it apply this concept equally to boys and girls?
It did, which is so interesting, that both young girls and young boys, as they transition through adolescence, and the language that Chap Clark used was this. He called it the tightrope of adolescence. You know, like a tightrope walker, going from one side to the other. Adolescence is a lot like that, going from childhood to adulthood. So easy to fall off, and it's so important to have some safety nets below. And in addition to parents, maybe it's extended family, maybe it's a coach, maybe it's teachers, maybe it's people in your church, for example, that have the same values that are reinforcing those messages that you're hoping to impart on your kids.
Well, really? in those households where a father's not present, I think the statistics are just overwhelmingly that the kids are at more risk for all sorts of problems. And in certain of our ethnic communities, this has been demonstrated horribly so. And I think the important thing for, say, the single mom, or I feel equally for the single dad where the mom's not involved, which was my case, but we hear more often about the single mom where the dad's not involved, is to find that male resource. I was a big brother several different times, and each time it was to a child who did not have a father in their life or a very unpresent father. So this would be one of those things that I call tikkun olam, which is Hebrew for repair the world, that any of us should do. You are a big brother to literally hundreds of young kids in your ministry. So, I mean, you are doing that job of repairing the world on a daily basis as your professional choice. But, you know, most of us don't have that sort of opportunity. And we can give back and make that difference that you're exactly expressing one kid at a time. And it's a beautiful thing to do.
Well, it's such a great reminder because, you know, our society today is very unlike societies around the world and even throughout history where the entire village or the entire extended family would help raise up children. So there was built into the way of life multiple people, not just the mom and not just the dad who would raise
And multi-generations
them.
That also exactly. don't exist in the same way, certainly not under the same roof.
Exactly, yes. And so today, with it being more individualistic, we need organizations like churches or even big brothers, big sisters to be able to care for them, to empower them. So get involved, even if you don't have a biological child, and raise up the next generation.
Yesterday, when my son was driving us home from school, I pick him up, and he's now got his driver's permit. I discussed with him some of the traits that he had picked up from me that I was amused by. And often we see as a parent the thing that our kid has picked up that we don't like and we wish they didn't. Yelling, say, for instance. But there was this one trait, I don't even remember what it was, where he was doing something just like I did. And I just got such a kick out of it. And, of course, that's how they learn. So I hope the good values are being passed on for all parents that are making that effort. And we are out of time, Pastor Drew. So quickly, tell our listeners where you're not currently blogging.
Well, I'm not currently blogging at drewsams.com, but boy, here we are, weeks past my deadline to get back going, so keep holding me to that.
Okay, but where can we find you?
Of course, on Facebook, on all social media, at slash Surfer Drew. That's my
Surfer
handle.
Drew. The teen minister that surfs, and he does. Okay, we will be back. Thank you, Pastor Drew. I'll talk to you next week, I hope. Oh, actually, next week is off, just so you know. It's my birthday next week, and we have a special show. Thank you. So I will talk to you in 2 weeks. We will be back with special guest Mac Collier after these messages.